I'll be Billy Crystal this week.
Are we doing City Slickers? Or no, Icons. Yeah, Icons. Come on,
keep up with me. It's been a couple weeks, but come on.
We'll be Steve Martin, Alec Baldwin.
Not my favorite. Not my favorite.
Have there been good co-hosts?
I'm usually, for the Oscars, I like a solo host.
Yeah.
Personally, Billy Crystal. I think Chris Rock did it. Was he good? I think he was good.
Yeah. Got slapped. Got himself slapped.
He did get himself slapped. Anyway, this is not a good intro yet, Matt. I kind of hijacked it. Let me let you cook.
No, that was topical. I don't have anything special. I was just going to run by you. Did you see in The Atlantic today, Gary Steingart had a cruise ship essay? He went on that huge, big cruise ship, which, you know, did you see that?
I did not.
No.
I have one note about Gary. I don't know how to pronounce the last name.
Steingart.
He was an author in college that I thought, I was trying, you know, kind of, you get all the classics or you get the important books in school. And then at some point, you kind of want to branch off into like modern literature. And he was one of a handful that I thought at the time was like an important author I should read. I never ended up actually reading him. And then I saw some like reviews and people just be like, yeah, he's kind of overrated. So I never got around to reading him. But he was one of the Jonathan Lethem. You ever read him? Fortress of Solitude.
No, but I mean, yeah.
Book's not very good.
He's one of those, him, Franzen, those important modern.
Yeah, like.
Keith Gessen.
2005 maybe to 2010. Mm-hmm. In that range.
That's when I bought Russian Debutante's Handbook because I thought, you know, I read All the Sad Young Literary Men by Keith Gessen. Yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
It's kind of when we met, you know, in the bookstore. That was kind of the.
Coming up, yeah.
I think books were kind of on the downfall a little bit as far as sales. And maybe, I don't know, I'm trying to remember. But no, I did not read the essay in The Atlantic about cruise ships.
I was going to. I didn't either.
Good.
I was thinking a couple things about that. I kind of wanted to. I read Russian Debutante's Handbook and I liked it. He's a funny, funny. He's worth. I have Absurdistan. I haven't read it yet.
That's the one I had. I think I took that from the old bookstore, the little free copy we got.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The galley.
Yeah, a little galley.
Nice. Anyway, I saw that and I saw Lauren Euler did a cruise ship essay. And I started to think, like, you know what? Everybody's kind of doing the whole world weary, like, oh, these monstrosities. You know, oh, I'm so sick of it. It's like, I would actually appreciate just a, you know what? It's terrible. It's gaudy. But, you know, it's kind of fun. I went on it for a week and I came at it with a happy, pleasant attitude and I enjoyed it. That would actually seem refreshing because I think the David Foster Wallace one we read was like the first of its kind and it was taking something considered fun and he put his own spin on it. But it's been about 30 years and now it becomes like a thing. All these literary people get sent out to the cruise ship to do the world weary attitude about the cruise ship. And I think it's time for a little twist. Go have fun.
Yeah. Can I tweak it a little bit? And it's actually it's kind of in the news quite a bit right now. Okay. If I was an editor, this is, and I had a writer, let's say you're the writer, right? You're Matt, you come in. Cruise ship. I go, cruise ship, I don't know if we want to do cruise ship. What about a big cargo ship?
Are we going to the Middle East? Because I'm not doing that.
No, we're going
up the Red Sea. No.
No, it's topicals in the news, you know, the was the Francis Scott Key Bridge just got hit by that cargo ship and collapsed. But I think, for me, personally, here's the angle on that story. These ships are filled with people from all over the world, kind of interesting lives. And I just want you to get immersed in it, okay? For like 2 months, that's what I want you to do. Okay. It's going to take a while, okay? I don't know exactly. We'll figure it out with the, you know, the shipping company. But I think that's the angle you go for.
Okay.
Because what does the world depend on? Shipping.
Yeah.
Mostly. I mean, you can fly stuff around, right? Or
Shipping.
By rail. But really, shipping is the key.
All right. Let's keep going with the scenario. You're the editor, I'm the author.
Okay.
So I suck up a little. I'm like, hey, that's a really good idea. Like, getting good with those guys. I think that's really. But let me throw this back at you.
Okay. I'm ready.
What if I go on the cruise for a week instead?
Okay. The cruise for a week.
Cargo ship. for 2 months, what if I did the fun cruise for a week instead of the cargo ship?
Okay.
And that's way more fun.
You don't want to do that. Okay.
Here I'm headed. No, that's a good idea for another writer to do.
Another writer.
That's what Gary Steingart should have gone and done. What I want to do, I'm saying, my point is I would have fun with the cruise ship. You know what I mean? Like, that would be, you know what?
I know you'd have fun. I mean, cruise ships are fun, but I'm thinking I need your eye and your talent to get to this thing that we depend on that we don't really know much about. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but it's just, you know, I think I really need you on that cargo ship. It leaves in a week, and I got you a stipend. I don't know what the stipend's for. You're going to be on a ship for the whole time. But yeah. All right, anyway, Matt, appreciate it.
Let me loan you my box DVD set of season 2 of The Wire.
Ooh.
Watch that.
Okay.
When I go on the cruise ship.
Is that the shipping one? That's the shipping one, right?
The boat? Yeah, that's why I brought it up, yeah.
Okay. All right. I'll run and buy the bosses upstairs. But anyway, that's pretty fun role play, Matt. Pretty good. It's probably like
I think a cargo ship thing would be more like send all the literary authors off to the watch all those pretentious literary dudes try to make friends with like
I would think Hemingway would do well, maybe.
Hemingway, I think old school people,
old,
yeah, Eric Hoffer, Hemingway, yeah, all those guys, the modern guys, Keith Gessen's not going to do well on the cargo ship. I think that's why they sent him out to the cruise ship and then kind of whine about being pampered in luxury. And he's like, all right, go do some actual.
Yeah, it seems
ship is kind of
like he kind of guessed the angle before you read the article, maybe.
And I haven't read the article, so maybe I should.
Maybe me too.
You know,
I was like, I loved it. It's fantastic.
And then I tweeted something about it, and Gary Steingart, liked my tweet.
Oh, no kidding.
So I was going to back off.
Oh, no. Liked it, huh?
It's like, I don't know the length of the actual article, because it's in The Atlantic, and you get one free article a month, but they have a little audio option now. Like, listen to this article. And it took it would have taken an hour.
What?
So that was my thing this morning. I lost interest.
Okay.
Cruise ship thing, maybe a little overplayed. I think the Wallace thing was good, but then have there been any good shark movies since Jaws? It's not that the public likes shark movies, it's just that Jaws was a good movie. I think maybe cruise ship thing's been done.
Here's another, okay, I kind of like being the editor, like you're this writer. I would like a essay on how they pick scripts in Hollywood.
Oh, that'd be fascinating, yeah.
Yeah, like we're always getting, you know, most people complain there's too many Marvel movies, although I think...
There are,
but some of them have been like pretty roundly criticized recently by critics, so there might be a slight decrease on some of those in the upcoming, you know, 5 to 10 years, but probably doubt that. But there must be some science behind it, maybe. I want you to find
out. I don't know if there's a science behind it. It'd be fascinating to just go observe the process, though.
How do you become an editor for a magazine?
I think you know somebody or you're related to somebody who runs
it. I think I would be a pretty good editor.
Yeah.
Not with like the grammar stuff, but just sort of like ideas. I'm a big ideas. I sound like George Costanza right now when he's trying to become a front office for the Yankees.
Yeah.
When he wants to become a GM.
I know what you mean. How do you get in there? Well, I think you... know somebody in the industry or
former ball players.
Yeah. You're like Maxwell Perkins. And I'm Thomas. Could I be Tom Wolfe? Thomas Wolfe. Not Tom Wolfe.
Which one?
Thomas Wolfe.
Okay.
Homeward Angel. Not white suit guy.
The white suit guy. Right. I like this. Not very bookish. So we got cruise ships. Any other ideas that we could do for a feature?
I'm saying I like the cruise ship thing. I want to do what Plimpton did with the baseball team. That would be my, like, go do something and you choose and it'll magically happen. I'd do spring training with the baseball team.
How about this?
Put me out there in a spring training game and I try to hit 100 mile an hour fastballs and make a fool of myself. That would be fast. That's what I'd do.
All right, I'm going to change it a little bit because I'm your editor. I want you to spend a weekend at the Sarasota Senior Community pickleball tournament, and just pickleball is taking over the senior
seniors.
What's that?
Seniors?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, seniors love.
Oh, playing. I destroy them.
No, no, you're not playing. You're just, you're writing about them.
I guess. Okay, you can make that work.
Anyway, that's pretty good. I like this brainstorming ideas.
Yeah.
Anyway, and on that note, welcome to There Will Be Books, a podcast about books and ideas. I'm Peter, joined as always by Matt. Good intro, Matt. We've been off for a couple weeks. We've both been on vacation. For last 2 weeks, I went on vacation to California, came back. You gave me Wesley, the producer dog, to house it. He was a very lovely guest. He interacted with my dogs well, and you went off. He did. Hopefully my two dogs did not, you know, influence him with bad behavior, and he came back to you the same that he arrived at our house. So we are back after a couple weeks. We're supposed to record this yesterday. I was sick yesterday, so it's been delayed, but the show must go on. I know the last episode we said the next episode we do and release is going to be the 2024 book Oscars for 2023.
Or 2023.
Yeah. A little late, but hey. That's
it's March. It's March. It's April.
It's April. Whatever.
Close enough.
Busy.
Yeah.
As always, if you're not familiar, we come up with a long list of categories. Both Matt and I nominate books and kind of each select our favorites, and then we kind of discuss, maybe come to consensus on some of these. Or
of the books we read in 2023, with weird little exceptions, like our December 2022 book is eligible. Blithedale was eligible.
Yeah.
But of the books we did on the podcast or extra.
Spoiler alert, that didn't win anything for me. Okay.
I got some nomination. Anyway, but okay. We go through the category, like the Oscars, and we pick winners, and it's just fun time.
25 categories. We should probably get into this.
Yes. Yeah.
It's late at night as we're recording this.
Don't worry about it.
Okay.
Let's just go. Make a good show.
Make a good show, Matt. Where do you want to start? I don't want to start with the big ones, obviously. You know, best book, best writer, best scene, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, save those to the end.
Save those to the end.
You want to start with supporting character, competent, inept, like down the list?
I'm going to let you go. Okay.
We'll start with supporting character, and we'll do it in your order. I got them all listed out.
Okay.
Nominees. We got some fun categories.
Sometimes you create categories that I don't really know how to fill.
Well,
okay.
I'm curious what you did, and then we'll go.
Best supporting character, Matt, from the books we read. Should we go through the list of books we read or we did episodes on? I think I have a complete list.
Do you want to?
I'll do it real quick.
Yeah, do it real quick.
Blithedale Romance, Slow Horses by Mick Herron, A Time to Be Born by Don Powell, Suttree by McCarthy, A Movable Feast, The Cabinet of Curiosities, Knights in Rodanthe, Kingdom Quarterback, This Is How We End Things, Jabberkrow, The Sun, Ball 4, 13, HHHH, Burr, Flashman at the Charge, and Manticore. I think I have all of those.
Yeah.
You might have an extra one that we kind of dipped into 2024.
You got 13 and Cabinet of Curiosities?
Yes.
Okay. No, I think we're good, and I don't think any of the 2024 stuff came up yet.
Okay.
You Sword in the Stone?
Yeah, I feel bad about that. I was thinking about that book.
Is that on there?
No, just because I've been... That's me. Keeps me up at night. Do you read the whole thing and I'm still...
It's eligible. And just Sword in the Stone.
Okay.
It's eligible and Merlin pops up. But other than that...
Best supporting character. I got three right here for me. One, you're not going to like at all. But I like him. Harrogate. Suttree.
Yeah.
Pretty kind of an important character in the theme, and I don't know. He's just
G.
interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's great.
Vicky Haven, A Time to Be Born. Kind of our narrator, kind of our not the main character, but kind of a pivotal character, kind of to expose everybody. And then I have Peter McCullough in The Sun. A very, I think without him, kind of being the opposite or the counter to Eli McCullough, I don't think the book works as well.
You got to have a moral counterbalance.
Yeah. And so those are my three, and the one I kind of chose. Do you want to do kind of make it or each individual who we would pick, or do we want to come to a consensus?
Let me read mine, and we'll
Okay.
see if we come to a consensus. And if
Let me see.
not, we'll see. Which one do you think I wouldn't like? I like all those.
Peter McCullough. Because
I
you
like.
didn't like him as a character. You didn't like him.
I did.
Okay. Well,
Well, what makes you? That
thought he was
counts.
whiny, complained too much.
Yeah, but he still works as a story. He's a well-written character.
Okay.
Hey, okay, so mine. Speaking of the son, Toshaway
Okay.
from Eli's adopted Comanche father. As
That's pretty good.
Thomas Jefferson from Burr.
I like that.
The Cossack guy who Flashman houses with for a while when he's in Russia.
Okay.
Smaller role, but I just liked him. It was kind of larger than life. Whatever.
Good.
Charles Schuyler from Burr. Similar role to Peter McCullough. Not so much the moral voice, but like a narrator that kind of highlights the great man's, journey. I got Vicky from A Time to Be Born also. And then Gary Oldman from Slow Horses. What's his name? Something Jackson.
Oh, yeah.
I left Slow Horses off my list, and you reading it reminded me, and I was like, oh, all right. Gary, but he was a what's his face? Jackson Brody. Jackson Brody.
Forget the names of that, but I remember like
He was a fun
the
character. He
type
was,
of characters, yeah.
yeah, he was a fun, funny character.
All right. I'm surprised you didn't have Harrogate in there. Vicky Haven, I liked. I don't know. I am For me personally, I picked Harrogate as my best
Best
supporting.
supporting. You know what? Yeah, he does kind of steal the show.
I mean,
He's such a weirdo.
he is very weird. He's very, and
But
it's for me, it's like memorable. Sometimes supporting characters, you're like in the moment, you're like, oh, that's very good. But this was a odd, and he kind of appears throughout the book.
he's got some scheme.
He's got some schemes. He's
He's
got
an
some
idiot.
oddity.
His telephone, the thing with the telephone
I mean,
cords
I
or
think there's
bat
probably.
poisoning. You know what? Yeah, I think it's
I mean, I think the other ones we've nominated probably make more sense as far as like a purpose in the story. But I don't know. As far as just, I don't know, interesting, kind of memorable character, I think Harrogate wins it for me.
let's do it.
I mean, you read the watermelon scene, you're like, what is happening?
But and then yeah.
So, all
And the
right.
whole thing with the bats
Yeah.
is yeah. You know what? Yeah, Gene Harrogate, best supporting character. I like that.
Okay. Is the next one on your list most competent?
Yeah.
Okay. I only have two for this.
Okay.
And your winner is kind of, I'm kind of, my pick is going to be, you're going to be like, oh, thanks. Peter, I appreciate that. So first I have Pendergast. It just sort of, I think he's the archetype of that. All right. He's sort of, he has to be competent, I guess, to solve the crimes. And my second pick, and I think after I came up with this one, I was like, oh, this is so clever. I don't think I need other choices. And that would be Patrick Mahomes.
Hey, he's on my list too. Yeah, no, I thought I was gonna be all funny and tongue in cheek with that one. Okay, so just those two.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, no, I have. No, those are good. And
Literally, I
Pendergast
came to
is.
Mahomes and I had a dash and I was like, actually, I typed these up and I was like, no, I like the Mahomes pick. It's won three Super Bowls, right? Yeah, three. Yeah.
Three. Been to
Yeah.
four.
That's crazy.
Two MVPs, three Super Bowl MVP. Anyway, yeah, no, I thought I was going to be all clever with that. All right. Okay, so I have Pendergast, who is kind of like the modern, the Sherlock Holmesian, just uber competent detective. Patrick Mahomes, Eli McCullough was very competent.
Yeah, he was pretty good.
You know, he wasn't necessarily moral, but he could kind of do what he wanted to do if he set his mind to it. The serial killer in 13, what's his face? He doesn't get away in the end, but he tricked his
That's a
way
good
on the
shout because
jury.
if you're to believe the what happens, that he's very competent in a
He
weird,
gets
twisted
away.
way. Yeah.
And then Merlin, Sword of the Stone. So, you know, my heart's with Mahomes, but I don't know, Pendergast probably.
I think Mahomes
He's
That's he's the character of the book.
he
I
is a
know
character of the book. You want to give
he's
it to Patrick?
the yeah.
I won't argue with you.
Patrick Mahomes.
Patrick Mahomes is the most competent.
Okay.
Hey, and did you see, real quick, I took off Best Twist, which we had last year, because I couldn't really think anything besides the lottery. So I just kind of
I thought
read that.
the Paul dying in Ecuador in Knights and Rodanthe.
Okay.
I did not see that coming. It's a crazy way to end a book.
Well, okay. As long as we'll keep going on that one.
Keep going. Most incomprehensible book.
Okay.
These are two disappointing ones for me
Okay.
for different reasons. One is 13.
Yeah.
It just didn't work the more I think about it. And then Manticore also fell short of my expectations. I don't think it was a bad book. I think if I went back to it, I would probably enjoy it more, but it didn't live up to my hopes, I guess. The format was kind of weird. The most of the story being in sort of a like therapy session type thing. So,
Yeah, it's like a
it,
Jungian. I think if you
I
did a
don't know if it fits
crossover,
the incomprehensible, but just for 13, it was like, how do you have this like set up and then not it feel bad? Like, it doesn't feel like the setup was the best part of the book and you didn't really add too much to it. So, I'm kind of like, I don't
yeah,
understand why that didn't work. And then
and.
Manticore was just like, I don't understand. Choices made, I guess, are kind of confusing.
Yeah, I'm not with you. I like the Manticore. I think if you did like a quick 30-minute crash course on the basics of like Jungian,
Yeah,
but
it
you
might
know what?
work
You don't
too.
have to. So
Yeah.
that can be a good choice for you. I'm surprised you didn't pick the David Foster Wallace radio essay.
Oh, man.
Right? Because that was a whole
That wins.
other thing. I
That's
like
not a
it.
book, but yeah.
And I like. I didn't. I like the 13 being on there. It wasn't incomprehensible as like difficult to read, but the plot kind of fell apart towards the end in a subtle, you
Yeah,
know,
it
like,
just seemed like, yeah, could
yeah.
have been a lot better.
And my only contribution to that is the Blythe parts of Blythedale romance. I'm pretty sure there's a lot of stuff I missed. I enjoyed it. I liked it, but it was dense and wordy, and there are a couple scenes I didn't know what to make of it. So,
One's kind of, I'd have to read the back about what happened. I'm like, I know I read the book, but I don't really.
was that whole thing where the our narrator stumbles upon like this weird pagan dance in the woods? I was like, I don't know.
Oh,
I guess
yeah.
it's symbolic of something, but I have no clue what's going
Yeah, let's do David Foster Wallace radio essay.
I'm doing it to humor you. I could argue against it because I
No,
love
don't.
say, but you could.
We have 20 categories we have to get through here. All right. I like good choice. I completely forgot about that.
Yeah.
Most inept character.
And now this can be, I want to say this can be bumbling, incompetent, like totally humor, like humorous character, or a character who's mostly competent throughout the book, but in the end, their tragic flaw kind of bites them. So it can be like there's a
I'm
broad.
not good with these ones. I'm not good with the next two ones. I don't like my choices really all
We'll
that
see
much.
what you got, and then we'll.
Nah, because they're kind of based off of they're not inept characters, but Jefferson and Washington just come across as sort of
Washington, as told by Burr, is a good one for that.
Yeah, I would say Washington more
Jefferson's
so
more
than Jefferson.
schemey. Yeah.
Scheme, but yeah, Washington, it's, when you're reading it, you're like, he's not the great American hero. Let's just,
Yeah, and the character as told by Aaron Burr in the book,
yeah.
it is actually a perfect,
So there's a lot of
perfect
like, I'm
nomination.
hedging this in two ways. Like,
No, that's good. Washington's a good one.
okay. And I don't know. I had the doctor maybe in Redanthi. He's sort of not good. I don't know. These two, I'm gonna let you kind of lead the,
Okay.
I don't know. I don't know. What's your most, what are your nominations for this one?
So I have Aaron Burr himself.
Oh, that's
He
good.
was a halfway competent guy, but he could never quite get there.
Yeah.
Almost there his whole life. So he's not like a bumbling incompetent. He just kind of like every time it was his turn to seize the brass ring, he came up short. So that's like one end of the spectrum here. Just barely, just constantly
Yeah.
coming up short. I have actually the lady from Knights in Redanth.
Okay.
Kind of, you know. The dad from The Historian.
You, are we counting the historian?
Yeah, it was October. It was our October book. I figured it wouldn't come up too much for you,
Oh
but
man, I could have. Okay, now that I have the historian in my, okay.
F. Scott Fitzgerald, as told by Hemingway,
He
in
came
Queen
across, I
of
didn't know if I should put him in most inept or in the next category most hapless.
You could, I mean, you could do well. No, okay. Did you see my email about combining them, inept and hapless, into one?
I don't know if I saw that. I did.
Anyway, but Fitzgerald, as he appears in Movable Feast, he comes across as kind of drunk and inept, and Hemingway's kind of shepherding him along. And then here we go. Every NFL team who drafted before the Chiefs took Patrick Mahomes at number 10. So Chicago Bears,
Okay, I'm not
so
gonna get
nine
into it.
other
That's
nine.
fun. That's fun.
Yeah, see. Yeah.
That's fun. I think you wanna do Washington
George Washington?
or Burr.
Let's do George Washington
I
for the
could
controversy.
convince me to combine these two ones because the
No,
next
no.
guy.
Who'd you have for hapless?
I have the doctor, and I was going to write down Fitzgerald, but so the
The
listeners.
doctor, oh, the doctor from Rodin, Fitzgerald. You know who would work in this too? The river guy from Slow Horses.
River guy from Slow
The
Horses.
main character in Slow Horses, River. What's his name?
Oh
Because
yeah.
he's kind of he's hap he is hapless more than inept. He's competent, but he's at that.
That's it's kind
He's
of
in
the
this.
whole book of hapless characters.
And yeah, and then the river, it's like things just happen to him, and he kind of gets, you know, thrown around. He's not incompetent. He's just kind of like
I like that. I already
at the
have
mercy
written
of
in
outside
that.
the river from Slow Horses.
Yeah.
Let's do that. That works.
Okay.
Bliss.
And to round out this little batch, you sent me Neat Scene.
Yeah.
Not necessarily the best scene, but one that makes you go, huh, cool.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But that sticks with you. It doesn't really have to have anything to do with the book itself, but just something you kind of remember
This
about.
one for me, it was like surprising, but also a really good scene. But it was surprising that, oh, okay. I didn't know, I wasn't expecting the scene to be as good as it was. And that would be the charge of the Light Brigade in the Flashman. I
Yeah.
just thought that was kind of the horror of war. Now it almost takes like a very serious tone, but just as a writer or as, you know, as a reader of the kind of these books, you're not kind of expecting that kind of quality or serious. Do you know what I mean? Like it's not kind of expecting a little more hijinks, I guess, with the Flashman books, but it shows you these books are more than just Flashman being Flashman, I guess. They have a historical purpose and value. So that was the one that that kind of jumped out to me. There were other ones like kind of the beginning of the Sun and like the Comanche raid. It's I don't know if that's a neat scene, but that's almost like a great scene.
That's like best scene nomination.
Actually, yeah, sorry. That's somewhere else. I just realized I nominated that for best scene. So
Oh,
let me
man.
go with the Charge of the Light Brigade.
Okay. All right.
I know it's just one, but
That's all right. All right. I have the scene in Ball Four where Bounton's talking about how when he's with the Yankees, somebody put up a negative article the newspapers had written about Jim Bounton, put it on the team bulletin board, which is kind of like insulting. It's like a way to insult Bounton in front of his teammates. And Bounton had narrowed it down between one other guy and Roger Maris. He's like, pretty sure one of those two had done it. And he went up, he Bounton talks about how he went up to Roger Maris, like all friendly, chit-chatty. And he's like, man, I'd really like to get my hands on the gutless SOB who posted that article about me. And Roger Maris went, I told you I didn't pin the article, and don't call me gutless.
that's
That's
interesting.
pretty funny.
That's a good, that's a, that book has a lot of, if you're a fan of inside baseball, neat scenes.
This is a good book. A lot
Yeah,
of
Ball
anecdotes and
Four.
stuff. I liked from the Sun the scene like when he's describing how the Comanches ate.
Okay.
And actually the scene from the beginning, the scene that the mom, the Eli's mom makes for everybody. The food scenes in the Sun. Describing like what a feast would be on the frontier, and then how the Comanches, what they use the buffalo for, and heating up the marrow and squeezing on the meat as a condiment, stuff like that. That was cool.
Very good.
And then how skiing used to be an immovable feast. They went skiing, but there were no ski lifts, so they had to walk back up the hill.
A great one.
Right? Yeah.
I have to remember that. I think we like made reference to that in the episode.
It's like,
I would
man,
kind of want to go with that one.
that's a big commitment. Yeah.
That is, if it's not all, it's not as glamorous when you have to walk
Really
back up
fun.
the
Yeah,
hill.
2 hours back up the hill.
Yeah.
Okay, we're skiing from
Do skiing, yeah.
the Ball Four thing's pretty funny though. Okay, skiing.
Let's see here. Does most untrustworthy character?
Yeah.
I like this one. This one is very like well drawn, but as you go along the book, you're like, this person's actually not very good. And that would be Amanda Keller in A Time to Be Born.
Yeah.
And that was like my main one that I was going through all the books and looking at. I can make cases for other people, but just like how bad of a friend she kind of is, and just she's really looking out for herself. And I just you wouldn't trust her with like much of anything once you got to know her.
I
Would
mean,
you
the
agree with
juice of
that?
the plot of the book hinges on her drawing her friend from her small town to New York so she can more easily have an affair.
Yeah.
No, she's very untrustworthy. Did you just have the one?
Well, yeah, that was kind of the one I wanted to win. It's like, oh, that's the character about. I mean, you can make a case for like, I'm trying to think of who in Burr would be the best, most untrustworthy, because it's sort of it's politics. I would want to have someone from there, right? I was
Well, I have Burr as a nomination.
thinking that.
You only get his side of the story, and it's always kind of tempered with this may or may not be true because you're only
Actually,
getting.
no, that's a great, because a lot of the stuff you're like, oh, do I actually feel this way about Washington or Hamilton or all this stuff comes from the viewpoint. Gore
Burr.
Vidal does it really well from Burr, and you're kind of like, I don't know if I trust this.
And I think you're supposed to.
Yeah, that's sort of the point of the book, is you're with an untrustworthy character. I would think Burr actually probably would be the best bet. Who else do you have nominated for this?
So Burr, I got F. Scott Fitzgerald, Removable Feast. He's kind of unreliable. He stands Hemingway up. He's supposed to go on a trip, but he's drunk. And
Yeah.
so Fitzgerald, Dracula. Can't trust that guy. The pearl salesman guy from Sutri.
Okay.
He was. Do you remember there was that scene where he convinces Sutri, they're mining for pearls and they're gonna go to town and make a fortune. And then the guy at where the place they're trying to sell the pearls is like, these are worthless.
Yeah.
And then so he's like, oh, how am I gonna eat? You know what? Like the whole thing's a bust. And they split up, and then Sutri comes by and sees the guy at a nice restaurant eating a really nice meal. And you're like, wait, did he just lie? Like what happened there? And it's never really
That's a good point.
explained what happened, but that guy I didn't trust. And then my final nomination is Sutri himself. He's always running away from people. He can't maintain a relationship.
I don't know if that's untrustworthy, though.
He left his wife and son.
That's true.
I mean, you can't really in certain realms. In other realms, I think he's a man of his word and he's decent.
Yeah.
But he's also in relationships and everything, he's not very trustworthy.
I would go Burr on this one.
Burr, I kind of like Amanda Keeler.
Okay. Let's do Amanda Keeler. I think that both those books like work because you're with an unreliable
It's part of
person.
the fun,
Yeah, that's the kind of the joy of reading the book. It's sort of, yeah. Anyway. Let's see here. Best prose. I'm a big prose guy.
and this is different from best author.
Yes. So prose two stood out for me as far as well, I think I've outgrown a little bit of my McCarthy phase. I'll say that as far as prose. I can see how you could put them in this like easily. Like I would understand that. So for me, it gets a little too much. Just for personal taste, right?
Well, so let me say I have him for best author, but I left him off best prose. Similar thing for me too.
I have that too. He is on my best author list there. I would actually let me add one other person that it's not my pick, but Vidal was surprising going into it, just as far as like just a really added like his prose added to the story in a way that I wasn't expecting. So I'll have him. And then my top two would be Philip Meyer and then Don Powell. Don Powell's been on this before. And I just love her writing style. I think she's fantastic. She should be way more famous because of the writing style. For me, it's just up there with some of the best writing I've ever read. Philip Meyer's also up there as some of the best writing. It's kind of nitpicking who do I choose. On one day, he could give me Meyer, and I'd be fine with that. Because was it American Rust was also, I would love a new Philip Meyer book. Push comes to shove, I'd probably go Powell. That's my favorite prose that we read. And if we keep reading Powell every year, then that'd be difficult to beat. It would be need like a David Mitchell type to beat her. But those are. Powell, Meyer, Vidal, too. But those would be my top two.
I have, you don't like it, but he's nominated, David Foster Wallace.
You know, when you brought up the when I was thinking of like the football, not football, that was
Cruise ship radio, and we did the Lobster Fest too.
yeah, sorry, I was getting him confused with what's his face? Hunter S. Thompson. I would say the Lobster Fest was really well done.
I
So
love the
I
cruise
can
ship.
understand that.
Yeah, he's got a good.
Obviously, very talented. Not always my style, but very talented.
I got Gore Vidal. Wendell Berry.
Oh, man.
Yeah. P.G. Woodhouse, just to nominate him because we did Honeysuckle Cottage, and you can't leave him off a best prose list. I have Don Powell, and then T.H. White.
Oh, pretty good.
Very well done book. Very well done
That's a
series.
very good point. Barry should have been on my list. He's on my best author list. So, and the prose in that book is very, it's right up my alley. So, that's an oversight on my part. He doesn't overtake Powell or Meyer, but where do you land on best prose, Matt?
Probably Don Powell, although I could make a strong case for T.H. White to win this.
Yeah.
It's just a very good, very good book, especially The Sword and the Stone, the kind of prosaic, like, he captures a kind of like an idyllic childhood. It's funny, it's poignant, it's touching.
Yeah.
I kind of want Don Powell in it, but I don't know. I'm pretty torn. I think T.H.
Okay.
White.
T.H. That book, The Sword and Stone, is fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. It's my fault that I haven't completed. I actually picked up the second book and I started reading it. I was like, oh, this is fantastic. And then I put it down and then I picked up something else. I'm like, what am I doing?
That happens.
This is like a month ago.
And I'm just talking about Sword in the Stone here, not the whole
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, T.H. White. I'm fine with that.
Best prose?
Yeah.
Well, let's do it.
I have these two quick ones. I don't know if they're on your list. Best cover art and best setting. Do you have those?
Yep, I did them.
For cover art, my main nomination would be Sutri. I have this kind of like foreboding cover. I think it's kind of the main one you would see. Although I worked in bookstore for a while, it has Sutri in like cursive and it's black and
with the black.
yeah.
No, so I didn't put Sutri on mine because it's not bad, but it's not that much. It looks cool. It's like updated purplish yellow. But
Gotcha.
I know what one you're talking about. That's a good one for Sutri.
And for me, best setting was the sun or Sutri. As far as just, and I probably prefer the sun over
Okay.
Sutri.
Well, hold up here. Let's do cover art. I got a bunch. Got a bunch for setting.
Because I didn't know what you, because some of these you listen to, so I didn't know.
Yeah, but I know what the cover art is. So anyway, I got for cover art. My copy of the Manticore is cool. Is like looks like it's from the '80s with the guy with the face of a lion on it.
I have that same one.
I like this.
Yeah.
Buddy, friend of the podcast, RJ Jacobs. This is how we end things.
Pretty good cover.
That book is a cool cover. Otomy on a college campus.
Very good book too.
Yeah. Yeah. Flashman. I like those editions. Flashman on the front with this Russian driving a sleigh in the background.
I don't know if there's a series of books that have a, because there's multiple different kind like cover arts for those books that kind of range from like when they were first published to like more recent, and they kind of change if you notice.
They changed, but I like the version I have. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And I like the supposedly fun thing I'll never do again. I think it's been pretty standard for a while with the weird modern art looking thing with the kid on the cover. And
Yeah.
that one.
I think I picked that book up too.
And give this one to RJ.
Yeah.
Because he's a pal.
Yeah.
All right.
Let him have best cover art.
This is how we end things. And it is a really good book too. All
right, Matt. I gave you my best setting.
Setting. You had the sun.
Just sun the sun over Sutri.
And which part, which all of it? The ranch.
Yeah, so I took this as, where does the setting of like immerse itself in the story the most, or is it plays it's almost a secondary character in a way, and sometimes authors commit to describing the setting to like almost, lack of a better phrase, like commit resources to let me flush out the setting. Sometimes it's not really, authors don't do it, and you don't really lose anything. And I thought those two books, the setting is kind of important for the entire book. I could also make a case for Burr too. Just as fact as you kind of, he does a great job of flushing out the times, I guess, so to speak.
I'm with you. Okay, here, I got a bunch. So,
I knew you did.
I got Burr.
Burr. Okay.
It is New York in the 1830s and colonial times in the Burr flashbacks really well. I like ball four. Baseball in the late 60s.
Man, I don't know.
Yeah.
You're better at this than I am.
The museum in Cabinet Curiosities is a really good setting for like a bunch of murders happening.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
Just a nomination, Peter. A lot of
Okay.
these things get nominated. And Paris in the 20s in A Movable Feast.
Pretty good.
Yep. Flashman. I liked Russia of that time period, Crimea of that time period. Port William in Jaybird Crow.
Actually,
Yeah.
okay, I'm
He's not
missing a
gonna
bunch here.
put
That's,
on
yeah,
the
you say that.
The River and All the People on It in Sutri. The Forest Sauvage in Sword and Stone. Right? Where Arthur grows up. And then you're not gonna like this one, but Romania in The Historian.
That's not winning. Actually, now that you said this, Wendell Berry does a fantastic job of creating like the setting of Jaybird Crow. I would actually probably go Jaybird Crow. Now
I'm
I'm
with,
thinking
let's do
about
it. Let's
it.
do
Yeah.
Jib. Yeah.
Although I think like the Sun and Sutri are more, graphic and violent. How Wendell, I think Wendell Berry takes great care and pride in creating that setting and place and character and stuff like that. So I like that. Jaybird Crow. Let's go through. You sent me some new for 2023. You got funniest book.
Yeah. What'd you have for that?
I kind of struggle with this. I had Flashman, right? But this one, this book, this Flashman didn't feel as funny as the other ones. Felt more historical and serious in a way. I mean, it's still funny, but it's not, didn't strike me. Sutri is kind of funny. And I didn't know, like, I'm a bad one for this because I don't find stuff as funny as, like, I'm looking for like the serious and sad stuff. Actually, Woodhouse, right?
Yeah, Honeysuckle Cottage.
Yeah. Is it Time to Be Born funny? No.
Yeah, yes, it
I
is.
wrote that, but I'm like, I don't, that's not what I think funny when I think that book.
Hilarious.
That's my third one. I have Time to Be Born, almost like a satirical way.
Yeah.
Okay. If we're
That's.
talking a satirical way, then like the ridiculousness of Amanda Keller and like her writing career. It's funny. Okay.
Meant to be funny book.
I would think Sutri maybe. It's the
No.
funniest one. I don't know.
No. No.
Give me your funniest.
Such is a drama
Yeah, but it's kind of
in the
funny.
best comedy category. No, Jean Harrogate is funny.
That's what I was
It
thinking.
has funny moments, but it's not in the comedy character. All right, funniest. A Time to Be Born, Flashman, Honeysuckle Cottage, The Cruise Ship Essay, supposedly fun thing I'll never do again. And Sword and Stone.
Oh, Sword and Stone. That would probably be
Sword
my
and
choice.
Stone is
Yeah,
very fun.
that's funny.
Okay, Sword and Stone.
Best scheme, Matt.
I like this one. Scheme. Who had the best scheme?
This is
All
pretty easy for me.
right, well, do your nominations and I'll do mine
No,
and then.
I have a winner. Sometimes when I have a winner, I have a winner. And that would be the scheme in HHHH.
Okay.
Wait, did I is that did you count
Okay.
that? Did you count that for 2023? Okay. So I just realized I might have read it way earlier than you.
No, I counted for 2023.
You
It's
did? Okay.
nominated.
I just realized I might have made a mistake. I mean, the scheme to kill Reinhard Heydrich is
Sure.
historical, accurate. The schemes in Burr. I didn't know which one to pick. I would almost pick. I don't know if it's a scheme, but just like the whole politics about that What was it, the 1804 election that
Mm-hmm.
Jefferson ultimately wins? The scheming behind that, I guess, is interesting, or the lack of scheme by Burr to actually
Yeah,
try
him not
to steal it.
doing anything. Yeah.
So I don't know if that's really counts. And kind of like the general plot of Slow Horses. But HHH for me was like the book is a scheme to assassinate somebody, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I like to hear your nominations, but.
Scene plot. I got the scene in Flashman that he overhears the Russian count, the Russian plan to invade
That's
India,
good. That's a good one.
undercut the English.
You remember the books better than I do.
Yeah, I have Burr, but his scheme to foment a war with Spain and use that to go to New Orleans and become Emperor of Mexico.
It's very
That
good.
was a scheme. The scheme in A Time to Be Born, where Amanda Keeler draws her old friend Vicky Haven back from her small town and gets her an apartment so she can do artsy stuff, but it's really all about her trying to have an affair with a
Sure.
man she doesn't even love, but she just wants to because on a whim, right?
That's a pretty big scheme.
Yeah. Let's see. I have a guy from Sutri, and I'm just remembering there's actually a couple. Like, you reminded me of all Gene Harrogate's game, the thing with the bats where he poisons a bunch of bats because there's a reward for rabid bats. He brings like 50 in a sack. But what I was thinking of is the guy whose dad was drawing welfare checks and he died.
Oh,
And then he held
yeah.
onto the body to keep drawing a check. And then he roped Sutri into
That's a pretty good scheme.
trying to like drown his body in a river.
That's a funny
Because
scene.
you can't say, oh, he's dead now because he's been
Yeah.
drawing checks. So he had to get rid of the body. So that scheme from Sutri. Getting on the serial killer's plot to get on the jury in 13.
I think I discounted that because it's just that book kind of made me angry, but that's a good scheme.
From the at the beginning too,
Yeah, it's a
I think
good,
they're
yeah.
still humming. The kidnappers in 52, or 52 pickup, Elmore Leonard one.
Got that book.
I forgot to put him in best prose. That would have been a good best prose.
Yeah.
He's got a good style. And then the Kansas City Chiefs for drafting Patrick Mahomes.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah.
Which one do you want? Look at this one.
Sutri. Just
Yeah.
because you're so cocky about HHH. Otherwise, I would have gone with that. But you're so sure of yourself.
I mean, if it was my cat, I mean, I don't know how HHH doesn't win, but okay, we'll
Well,
go.
they didn't get away with it. As neither did the guy from Sutri either.
I mean, but he died. They killed him. The scheme doesn't. I
They
mean,
did get
it's a
it did
suicide
work.
mission, really. All right.
Well, no, we could do that. I'd actually it's a good point.
Biggest sad sack. We got kind of.
Character who's just a sad sack.
I got the doctor in Knights of Rodanthe. He's pretty sad sack. I
Yeah.
have this character, and we haven't really mentioned him. Troy Chatham from Jaber Crow.
Yeah.
He was bad. Like, I almost put him when you said you didn't want to do best dog villain. Like,
Oh,
he's kind of a
you.
dog. He's kind of a. But he's also kind of a. He's kind of worthless.
You know what? We'll bring back Dogville. He's perfect. I totally.
Yeah, he's bad. Like, he's not. I
He's a
was kind of
Dogville.
going through people. I was like, oh, he needs to be on something. And I put him on here. But he was originally going to be on Best Dog Villain.
Okay, side note, rabbit hole. We'll come back to this. I took off Dog Villain because I could only think of Kay from Sword in the Stone. Right? But he's not quite Dog Villain, so it's like, eh. Let's bring it back and give it to Troy because that's perfect.
Okay.
He's the only one I could think of, but that's good. That's
Troy's.
good. That's
Solid.
who rules. Yeah.
No other way of putting that.
Yeah. Nice.
Peter McCullough.
Yeah, he's good.
Know I liked him as a character, but he's
Me
pretty,
too. He's a sad sack,
he's a
though.
sad sack. And you know, I think I like the sad sacks in my books. Those are my three.
Okay.
I don't really feel strong about any of them. Probably Peter McCullough. Brad Pitt one. But that's almost based on just like how intense his family is. I think he's kind of a normal person, but
He's got a normal, healthy sense of morals
yeah, but
in that
it
family. But he is kind of also
is, yeah.
sad sack. Okay. So I got Sutri himself. He's
He's
kinda
kind of a sad sack. Yeah, that's good.
the lady from Knights of Nordance.
She's,
She's pretty
yeah.
sad sack. Peter McCullough. I got F. Scott Fitzgerald.
Yeah, it's good.
As told by Hemingway. Maybe not the real guy, but David from the Manticore.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And then Vicky Haven from Time to Be Born. It's kind of her deal the whole time too.
Yeah, kind of feel for that's
No, I
interesting.
do too. This isn't judgment on the person. I like most of these characters. It's just kind of
I think we kind of probably Peter McCullough wins this one.
Peter McCullough. Oh,
Yeah.
and the Chicago Bears for not drafting Patrick Mahomes.
Okay, there you go. Is our protagonist a villain?
Okay, and this is some of them are kind of obvious, like Flashmen or whatever. But
Yeah.
it's also like there's a good quote from Ken Kesey in an interview he gave where he was talking about how a person or a character in a novel, like you're the hero in your own story, in your friend's story, in like your buddy's story, you're the sidekick. You're the lover in someone's story. You're probably, if you're
Yeah.
honest with yourself, the villain in somebody else's story. Like you as a person will play all these roles. And so some of this is like Eli McCullough or somebody who could easily be a villain in somebody else's story. Or if you were to come at the book from a new angle, you could write your protagonist as the main villain.
Yeah.
So hero as villain.
Have three here. Eli McCullough. I think we probably both have David Stoughton, Manticore, and then Burr.
It's kind of funny because Burr kind of is the villain in most of American history.
Yeah.
And the genius of this book was kind of flipping it. But yeah.
I'd probably do Eli McCullough. I think he is kind of, yeah, I mean, I don't think he's like praised as like this. I don't know. As a reader, you kind of have to see that he's not a good person. It's kind of obvious, but
No, it's complex. But you could easily write a story from his wife's point of view or,
yeah.
from somebody else in the book's point of view, center them, and Eli becomes the
But I
villain.
almost think just how the book portrays Burr versus everyone else, I kind of think Burr's maybe the most interesting choice on this one, just kind of how he gets shifted around perspective wise.
All right,
So.
let me do mine. Burr, Eli McCullough. You could do Sutri.
Yeah.
Wife's point of view is ran off and left their son. Amanda from Time to Be Born pretty easily. The husband from 52 Pickup.
Oh, yeah.
He does have an affair and bring this all on his wife. You could kind of twist it and make him.
Yeah. It's in a way, yeah.
You could. Well, that's the thing. If you could come at it from a different character's angle and he'd be the villain.
Yeah.
Like maybe his mistress, who he gets killed. A book like so anyway. Hemingway. Ernest Hemingway. If you
I thought
wanted to.
Fitzgerald, yeah.
His first wife.
I mean, yeah, he's not a good guy, so
No,
I.
but that's not the point of it. Like you could just tell the events.
Well, like I think you could do that for a lot of these.
Well, I mean, yeah, that's what makes the category one, right?
Okay. Well, okay.
But okay, what? Eli? We'll go with Eli.
Eli, yeah. All right, Matt. I'm gonna do, let's see here. I think we have five big ones left in my list. I'll start with the bottom. Best villain. I have two major ones. Oh, three, I guess. The one that's the serial killer in 13. Lang from the Cabinet of Curiosities. Pretty. And Heidrick in HHHH. Who are your best villains of 2020?
I had Heydrich and the serial killer in 13. Lang was a good one. I didn't have him, but that's good. I have The War / The Economy from Jaber Crow. Wendell Berry makes it kind of this thing hovering in the background, especially the war. Like just an encroaching, it's all World War One, World War Two, Vietnam, it's all one big thing that just kind of takes a community's youth and chomps it up. The Blackmailers from 52 Pickup.
Not nice guys.
Things get kind of grim towards the end.
Yeah.
And the townspeople in The Lottery. And Thomas Jefferson from Burr. As told by Burr.
As told by Burr Jefferson, yeah. Burr. Definitely a villain. I had Heydrich.
It's probably his Heydrich. Pretty bad.
Yeah.
Although, I mean, a sneaky one would be The War, the abstract concept from Jaber Crow. Heydrich's pretty bad, though.
Heydrich's very bad.
Heydrich.
Heydrich's pretty bad. So we'll go with Heydrich there. All right. Next category is best character.
Okay.
We're getting to the top ones here.
I got one I really like and want to advocate for.
Okay.
But you.
I think I have ones we've all talked about here. I got Sutri. I got Eli McCullough. I got Jaber and Amanda Keller. Personally, I think Eli is the kind of my leader. I would also, you could convince me Jaber is actually, I'll change that. I'm going to go from Eli to, if I had a vote, Jaber would be my vote.
All right.
Your nominations, Matt.
I got Aaron Burr.
Okay.
Jaber Crow. Eli McCullough. Amanda Keeler. Merlin.
Okay.
And just to put him on there, he needs to be on here more. It's a very good book. Jim Boughton.
Oh, yeah.
Book.
That's a good call.
I took out my copy of A Time to Be Born and was flipping through the highlighted passages and stuff. Such a good book.
It's a very good book.
But anyway, I think Amanda Keeler kind of should be. She's a very complex, rich character.
I have no problem with that.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, she's a character that is very, like, it's complex. It's not a simple character. There's, yeah, I think, I don't know, Powell does a fantastic job. You don't like her, but it's, she's always fascinating to, when she's on the page, it's.
Yeah. And it's so funny. She screws herself over. Just the whole thing with the affair that I mentioned earlier. And then she is like, she's a best-selling author, but she doesn't write any of her books, but she's not aware of that fact. She just kind of takes it for granted. She married a very wealthy Henry type man. And then she loses him because she had an affair with a person she doesn't even like. And then she goes after this famous Hemingway-esque writer at the end. And the right, like, it's just kind of her journey. She was like a very well-drawn, flawed, fascinating character.
I agree. I would be totally on board with Amanda Keller winning.
Okay.
Let's go there. All right, Matt. Best scene.
Right.
I've won the surprise one here. And I have one that you can almost say is a neat scene. The Comanche attack in the sun.
Yep.
I thought the end of Jaber Crow, we kind of talked about it on the, like, the.
Where he goes to the hospital.
Yeah, that, like, connection. Kind of very touching. It's a good way to end that novel. And I also thought Burr recreating the duel was very.
Where he goes in the 1830s. Oh, that's good.
And he's like, and it's very, I thought Vidal was, that was a very interesting and compelling scene to put in there. And Vidal pulls it off like perfectly.
Yeah.
So those are my three favorites.
You know what I was thinking of when it came to Burr? Because when I put Jefferson in the villain category, you'd almost think with a book about Aaron Burr, Hamilton would be there. But you think back to that book, he doesn't dwell, Aaron Burr himself doesn't dwell on that. It's all Charles Schuyler bringing it up.
Yeah.
And he's not, Burr doesn't really treat him like, he's very
But
reserved.
it's
He's
kind of
not the
like,
villain. He's not the villain
no,
book.
but
Jefferson.
that scene is sort of like kind
No.
of waiting for it, and
That's
he
as
kind of,
close as he comes.
yeah, it's the closest. Yeah, it's
And he
interesting.
leaves it kind of unstated. I kind of like how the Hamilton has a role in that book, but it's not what you'd think.
Yeah, the reason behind it is kind of a mystery about,
But Burr doesn't dwell on it.
yeah.
I took care of it. I killed the guy, kind of ruined my career, but
Yeah.
there it is. Anyway.
I think my favorite, like, as pure as like writing, was probably the Comanche attack in the sun. I was like, holy crap, like that's some writing right there. That's, I don't know.
Okay, so here's mine. The sleigh chasing Flashman over the bridge where they're chasing him and he jettisons the girl.
Pretty good.
That's mine. The trial in Burr, the whole trial scene when he's on trial for treason. The final shootout in HHHH in the
That's a very
church.
good scene.
Yeah, and it
That's very.
builds and
It
they're
the fourth.
tunneling out. Like, are they going to tunnel out of this? I don't, but
He does something too. It's like short, choppy chapters, and then there's the end of the book is very like longer, more kind of breadth to the story is given. So yeah, that's a good choice.
and then here's my favorite. I was gonna win. This is one of the funniest things I've like ever read. Is in
Okay.
Sword in the Stone, the duel between King Pelennor and Grummor Grimmerson. I don't know. It's the best. It's like just a slapstick, silly dueling scene, but it's just written so well. It's one of the funniest scenes ever. So I thought I'd throw
That's
it.
pretty. I would be okay with that winning. Considering I've been reading the book for 2 years and I still remember that scene.
Isn't it? It just, I don't know. I don't know how to describe it. Go read it if you're curious. It's very funny.
Very funny. I like that. All right, Matt. Down to the big two awards of the year. Best author.
Okay.
I got Powell, Meyer, McCarthy, Vidal, and Barry.
Hey. I have T.H. White, but
T.H. White.
other than that, it's the exact same as yours.
Kaya.
Wendell Berry, T.H. White, Don Powell, Cormac McCarthy, Philip Meyer, Gore Vidal. Don Powell has won. Oh, who are the previous? Don Powell and Ken Kesey
Yeah, I think
are
that's
the two previous winners. T.H. White won Best Prose.
I'm kind of leaning Meyer.
I'd go with that. He does three characters, all very.
High level of like difficulty to pull off.
Yeah.
Personally, I don't know. It's one of those things where like I like Powell the best out of all these authors, just as a personal thing. I love Meyer's book. So it's, I don't know.
Let's
It's
do
hard.
Philip Meyer
Yeah, I'm
just to
okay.
be
If
different.
this is the second love
With
another book by him, I don't know if there's something in the works, but
apologies to Wendell Berry and Don Powell. Wendell Berry would have been a good one too, but
Barry could have easily won this too.
Philip Myers here.
All right, Matt. Best book. I have A Time to Be Born, The Sun, HHHH, and Jaber Crow.
Okay, I have all those. I have Burr, Setri, and Sword in the Stone as well. Time to Be Born is very good. Did you see there was some list? I don't know if it was the Millions, New York Review of Books, the best 100, it was like 125 best novels written. American novels post, it was post 1920. They didn't put that in the headline. A Time to Be Born made the list.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was the only Don Powell on there. It wasn't a terrible, usually those lists are kind of terrible and whatever, but it was actually a decent list.
Check that out. I have the one I kind of starred, it was The Sun. I could be convinced of other books. I don't I like Jaber a lot. I don't think it's better than Sun. You can convince me of Time to Be Born. I don't think Sutri is better. I know that's crazy, like people, but that's just my preference. I think the Sun's just a better story. Sword in the Stone, you could convince me of that. I kind of forgot about just from taking so long. But for me, the Sun will probably be my pick, but I don't think there's a clear choice. I think in years past we've kind of had a clear choice, but this one was a little bit more tricky.
Yeah. And I think Burr is of that quality
That's Burr. Yeah,
level,
Burr's personal preference just being like I put the Sun a little bit higher, but if you put Burr higher than the Sun, that's totally understandable.
I'll go with you on the Sun, though.
Okay.
It's a good book. I read it twice. I read it when it came out,
Nice.
and I reread it for this, and they're great both times. I go with the Sun.
Okay.
This writer wins best book.
That's okay. I mean, yeah, I'm okay with that.
All right.
So,
I like
this is our
this.
fun little game here. And then, sometimes you go back 5 years after this and you know how the Oscars pick movies. You're like, how did that win Best Picture?
Yeah, it's like,
Maybe
wait.
we'll do that with like how did they pick the Sun over Sutri and Jaber and The Time to Be Born? HHH was like the concept and how he pulled it off is kind of incredible.
This is a very good book,
I wouldn't
too.
say the prose wowed me as much as the other books, but just like, oh wow, that's very
Good
interesting
plot.
how the
You
plot of that is.
know what? A good category of best plot.
Plot would have been pretty good.
That would have been. And Elmore Leonard is a fantastic novelist, and he only came up a handful of times. So that was a very fun book. That was a good plot.
I'll have to do better this year of writing down my thoughts on this.
As they go.
Yeah. Because I'm like, oh, yeah, could you bring up points? So that will be my 2024.
Oh.
Some,
Got ancillary stuff. Like
give me the ancillary stuff,
no
Matt.
categories, just,
Close out the episode with the ancillary.
We do best cameo. Last year it was Lincoln and the Flashman book. Did you have anything? I
No.
only have one.
What's that?
I only have the one.
What's that?
Robin Hood in the Sword and the Stone.
That's.
Yeah, it's like,
Yeah.
oh, I'm expecting this, but he pulls it off.
That's a very good choice.
The Duncan Idaho, I thought this character would do more in this book award. The daughter's the boyfriend who she's on the train with in The Historian. I was like, okay, this guy's gonna like be bad. There's gonna be a turn. This guy's gonna serve some sort of purpose in this, and he's just kind of there. Like, okay.
Yeah.
I'm expecting a betrayal. He's a vampire too, something, and he's just
Weren't
kind
you
of.
expecting who's the guy in, not in the Manticore, like the narrator in the first book? What's that guy's name?
No, I know
Weren't
what
you
you
expecting him to be more in the Manticore?
mean. No, but that's only because in the beginning of the Fifth Business, Davies went out of his way to say what the
Yeah.
business was. Because I kind of expect him to be an ancillary character.
But I just felt he's like barely mentioned.
He's in it at the end.
Yeah, but I think the end was the best part of that book, really. I remember, right?
I liked it more than you
I
did,
would
but I.
kind of have to revisit it if I have a final opinion. The boyfriend in the story, that's pretty good.
He just says he's good. He's a betrayer,
The
but he's
daughter doesn't do anything either. I'd like to point that out too. Yes.
right.
They really only needed the two characters. I'm not sure why his daughter was there. Oh, because he had to write letters to his daughter, which didn't need to be letters. Anyway. Can't believe you nominated. Okay, Matt, you're getting
No, it's not a compliment. It's like I expect is like,
No,
oh, this
the
character.
setting, the setting of
Romania.
Bulgaria
Get you to
or
Romania.
Romania. Ugh.
Best title.
Kind of like slow horses quite a bit.
Yeah.
HHHH. Sutri as a name, I know it's just the name of the character, but that's a, when you pick a name like that, that's pretty solid. Knights and Rodanthe.
Yeah. Great to know.
I think HHHH probably is my favorite title.
I had HHHH and a movable feast.
Ah, that's good.
The thing too. At the beginning where he describes that's what good. That means. And it was from a medieval concept of like the feast is within you and you take it wherever you are, it goes with you. And so Paris and his youth, you know, those good times are with him wherever he goes. I thought the actual meaning of that title was good. But let's give it to HHHH because I should have won more. It was good enough at one more. Just got overshadowed. It was a good title too. The German for Heydrich's brain is Himmler's brain is Heydrich. Hey, if you could snap your fingers and one of these books is adapted into a movie or TV show, and you know it's going to be good, like a director you trust, like which one would you most like to see adapted?
If they've already been adapted, does that discount them?
No, if you want to see a better one.
I would kind of like to see a series. Well, I don't know. This might be me just being like old, but like Jaber, just being in that town, being with those people. I don't know if that's enough for, it feels like more like a TV. Like, I want it to be slow. The purpose of being slow.
You know what?
This life there was kind of just the tempo of life is slow.
Yeah.
I don't know. And just like, hearing people talk about life.
Yeah.
It might be kind of like cheesy. I think that would, the adaptation would be hard to pull off just because you don't have the prose of Barry there to sort of, you know, like keeping you from falling into just sort of like, romantic, like, I don't know, kind of pitfalls there. So that it would be difficult, but I would enjoy that sort of pace and characters.
So what about a Lonesome Dove style miniseries from the late 1980s with Sam Waterston as Jaber?
Good.
Like if you could go back and like, whoa, they made one? How did I never hear this?
Pretty good.
That'd be good. Like a little miniseries.
I don't know. There's some like obvious ones. I know they've done The Sun. We watched HHHH. Would Burr work? Burr would almost be like an HBO series, I feel like.
It'd be a good HBO series in the right hands. Yeah.
Some of the stories from A Movable Feast would be kind of interesting. Just like expanding on it a little bit more, maybe.
I thought, and I think I said in our episode on it, the little road trip Hemingway and Fitzgerald take.
Yeah.
It's like a chapter. That would be a great buddy movie in the right hands. Good. Hemingway and Fitzgerald.
Yeah, you could expand on stuff, obviously, yeah.
You know what mine is?
What's yours?
I think Cabinet of Curiosities could be a good little thriller horror type movie.
I think it should be, yeah.
Just a movie.
Okay. Not
a series, just a movie where all this stuff's going on. You cast Pendergast right. Good to go.
I think that wouldn't be my choice, but I would be intrigued to watch it.
Yeah. So. I think it's a good movie in there. And then Henry Cavill as Flashman is just sitting there. I know the subject might be hard to make the right tone, but he'd be perfect as Flashman. HBO series.
I feel like at some point they will make this a series.
And when the pendulum gets away from the kind of moral hand-wringing and stuff. Yeah,
maybe.
Whether Cavill's too old or not.
We'll want to find a new young Flashman out there.
That's probably some British guy, yeah.
Best song, Matt? Any best songs? That was a joke. That's Oscars, yeah.
Yeah, the Oscars is best song. I'm with you. Hey, in my little pet theory.
Yeah.
I remember going over my notes. I kind of halfway plausible, maybe. Maybe it was intended this way. Subtle. did Charles Schuller kill Helen Jewett?
Oh.
The thing is like a weird fever dream thing. And you realize, oh, Charlie may not be the most reliable narrator. And it's like, did he? It's a weird, there are references to a trial that Burr conducted when he was a lawyer, where maybe the real killer got away. And all done in such a way as like, he might be hinting that maybe Charlie did this.
I've read the book, The Murder of Helen Jewett. So when that, actually, cameo character for me personally, since I had read that book in college, The Murder of Helen Jewett. So Helen Jewett would have been my cameo. When I saw that, I was like, whoa, Helen Jewett. Is that the Helen Jewett that gets, because I knew it right, I was like, she gets murdered. Why is she in this book? Yeah. So, I would think maybe.
Charlie. The weird half-baked thing that you think about, it's like, that might be,
it's kind of weird that
it's always pointing there. Towards. Yeah. Yeah.
Like that. Anyway.
That's all I had.
That was good. Good year reading. How would you compare the best books from this year to some of our other years, do you think?
So what? What, the Ken Kesey, Sometimes a Great Notion, cleaned up last year.
I still don't think.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say Lonesome Dove won the first year. It's a big epics. To win these things, big epics, maybe westerns. Lonesome Dove and the Son of Westerns.
We had Dumas, right, too.
I forget which one won. We had Dumas. Yeah, Count of Monte Cristo was the first year.
Let's see here.
Dawn Powell's constantly nominated, as she should be.
How about we end on this? What's your favorite book? We've been doing this podcast for like around 4 years. What's your favorite book that we've done, read?
Yeah, I don't know. There's a handful.
Not the best book, but what's your favorite book? Sweet.
I'd almost have to do a list.
Okay.
Look at them. I don't know. It depends on what mood I'm in. I love the Flashman series. I like Summer Lightning. Count of Monte Cristo is great.
I would go Count of Monte Cristo.
I want to do more adventure. Which, okay. Well, and on my question to you. Of this continuing series we're doing, which are you most anxious to like keep going with? / another author you want to, like another Don Powell?
Or do you I would want to do another Don Powell. Coming up, and to kind of hint at what we have coming up, I would be wanting to do more A Dance to the Music of Time.
I think it
would be a fun series to delve into as we gear up for the A Question of Upbringing, the first book in that 12-book series. But I always enjoy
Dorothy Dunnett.
What's that?
The next Dorothy Dunnett.
Oh, yeah. Dorothy Dunnett.
The next, there's 5 Ripley books. I've only done one, you know? Like,
I think about Dorothy Dunnett a lot.
Yeah.
Just like, in a way of like, I need to be a smarter reader. Because she was, I was like, I think I'm missing stuff. And then I had to pay attention and you were rewarded as a reader, so I would definitely want to come back to some more Dorothy Dunnett. So maybe later in this year we can kind of anyway,
you know what, Wicked Pavilion, just my answer for favorite book we've done, I'll just go with Wicked Pavilion.
That's up there. That would be top 3. Fans of the podcast, let us know, out of all the books we've covered a lot of books, what has been your favorite book that you've read, or kind of or even like most surprising book you didn't think you were going to like and ended up loving. So, or new author you found. There's all sorts of categories. I would say Don Powell is definitely the new author that you introduced me to. That's been my favorite new author we've done on this podcast. So hopefully we get more of those in 2024, man. Any final thoughts on the Book Oscars this year?
It was a really good year for the Book Oscars.
A good year for
books. But you know what? You know it's going to be even better.
2024.
Next year's Book Oscars.
2025.
Heavy hitters.
I like that. We will talk to you soon. We'll be discussing books and what we eat for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and all those like fun, you know, clown subjects that we
eat. Oh, yeah, condiments.
Condiments.
Our next episode is going to be all about condiments.
Our books and condiments podcast. But anyway, we appreciate you listening and sending us feedback and interacting with us. And we will talk to you soon.